Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Dear Lord and our loving Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share a message today. I ask that you be with my words and that you help this message to be clear too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm trying something different today. I know there's people that speak English here, and hay algunas personas que hablan español. I'm going to have some verses that are in English, but I'm also putting Spanish verses next to it. I am giving this a try. I'm going to be speaking in English, but you may hear a bit of Spanish. Amen? All right. I'm going to start with a deep question, and maybe it's too deep for Sabbath morning, but I want you to think about this. If you couldn't be there in person to raise your kids, who would you trust to do that? How many of you would trust YouTube? Amen. Okay. How many of you would trust your siblings to raise your kids? What about your own parents? Some people would they trust their own family members, or would they say, no, anybody else except my family? Right? Maybe my best friends, but not my family. You see what happened to them? No, there's no way I'm going to do that. If you couldn't be there in person, who would you trust? I was at the conference a few months ago, and they asked me, they said, have I written my last will and testament? And I said, no, and then I said my age. I'm not telling you my age. But I thought about it, and I'm wondering, if I were to pass away, you know, God forbid, who would I trust to take care of my kids? Could my wife take care of my kids? Maybe, hopefully, right? What about my in-laws? What about my family? And I was wondering who would be willing, if I couldn't be there in person, who would I trust? I'm not asking you to answer this to me, but just think about it. Today's topic is about a man named Joseph. Have you heard of him before? What kind of man was Joseph? He was not the biological father of Jesus. He was the adoptive father of Jesus. Do you know anybody that adopted someone before? Is it hard to get along with someone that adopts you? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, right? Sometimes they'll say, you're not my real parent. So what happened? What does the Bible say about Joseph? What does scripture tell us about the man picked by God to raise the Messiah? So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Capítulo 1, versículo 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. I'm just going to do it in English. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the what? All right, people are still turning. Of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put away secretly. He's going to secretly divorce her, right? Because she's pregnant. It's not my kid. Why would I want to still be with this woman? I thought she was trustworthy. I thought she was faithful to me. But she's pregnant with another person's baby. Obviously, she's cheating somewhere. So he wasn't going to embarrass her publicly. He was going to do it secretly to not shame her. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the what? Is of the Holy Spirit. So do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name?
Jesus.
You shall call his name Jesus. And for he will save his people from their sins. You know this story. Amen?
Amen?
So Joseph, being aroused from sleep. Do you like being woken up in the middle of the night? Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary to him as wife. So he did what the angel commanded. So that's the first thing we hear about Joseph. We do not hear a lot about him. You know, we might know about his lineage. We don't really know. I mean, we know he was a carpenter. We know a few things. But what was his personality like? So he did as he was commanded. So If you go to chapter 2 in Matthew, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his what? His star in the east and have come to worship him." And Herod sent wise men, I'm jumping down to verse 8, to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and what? And worship him also." So when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. Some people think, oh, the wise men came when Jesus was a baby. You know, the Bible says they saw the young child. When with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped. He was a toddler at the time. He wasn't a baby anymore. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a... Do you see a pattern? "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So, he gets woken up again. "Arise." Really? You're waking me up again? "Take the young child and his mother, go to Egypt, and stay there until I bring word to you." So when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed where? To Egypt. All right. He was there, if you follow in verse 15, he was there until the death of King Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Verse 19. "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt." Do you see the pattern? "Saying, arise." And he's like, "Really? Again? Take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Egypt, of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are what?
Dead.
Are dead. So arise, get up." I don't know if you like to sleep in, but... "Arise, take the young child, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead." So he arose, he took the young child and his mother, and he came to the land of Israel. Now, verse 22, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. We have the same pattern again. So being warned by God in a dream, pero avisado por revelación en sueños, se fue a la región de Galilea. He turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a what?
Nazarene.
A Nazarene. I asked the question, how many of you love to sleep in? How many of you attend Sabbath school? No, don't. So Joseph had instructions. We don't know too much about Joseph, but from the Bible we can tell his personality. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Joseph takes Mary as his wife. Wake up, go to Egypt until Herod is gone. Joseph wakes up, takes Mary and the toddler Jesus to Egypt. Wake up, Herod is dead, go to Israel. Joseph wakes up, takes Mary and toddler Jesus and heads to Israel. Don't go to Israel, go to Galilee instead. Joseph goes to Galilee. We don't know much about Joseph, but we know that when God tells him to go, he what? He goes. If God tells him to wait, he waits. If God tells him, wake up, stop sleeping in, he gets up and he goes to church. He does what God says. If you wonder what kind of man Joseph is, he's a man that listens and does what God says. That's the type of person that God said, "I can't be there in person to raise my child, but this man, even though he loves to sleep, I am going to make sure that he's the one that raises my son, because when I talk, he listens and he does what I say." Amen?
Amen.
There are two types of objectors. Sorry, this is in English only. There are procrastinators. Are you a procrastinator? Procrastinators, they know what they ought to do, but they'll get to it when?
Later.
They'll get to it later. An example is Lot. It says, while Lot tarried, right? The angel of the Lord came and said, hey, they took their hands and led them out because Lot was taking his time to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You have the rich young ruler. I've done all these things since my youth. You know, what more do I lack? And they're like, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. He's like, well, he went away sad. He had great possessions. He was procrastinating. He didn't want to give it away yet. You have questioners. Why would God ask me to do that? Like, get up and go to Egypt. Really? Can I have a sign first? Can you? They start asking questions. Like, God, I have a question before I actually do what you tell me to do. Does anybody ever, you tell someone to do something and they're like, why? Some examples of those people are Moses. Moses is, God, are you going to send me alone? God's like, God appears to him in the burning bush and he says, I am sending you to go back to Egypt. I'm going to send you to save the people. Moses is like, why me? I speak bad. I killed somebody there. Really? Can you send somebody else, right? Gideon. He's like, oh, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. And he's like threshing wheat in the wine press. He's hiding from everybody. And he's like, God, if you're really calling me, make the ground wet and this fleece, make it dry. And then he does it. And God's like, and Gideon said, no, make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And he's like, are you sure you're calling me? God did not pick a procrastinator or a questioner to be the adoptive father of his son. He picked someone that when he heard, he went. We as humans, we are like some of the people in the Bible. We procrastinate. We ask questions. But if you really want to do what God says, if God says go, we should what?
Go.
We should go. Amen. This is a very simple topic this morning. Amen. So there's a verse in the Bible. We read it for scripture reading. It says, go therefore. I didn't know that go in Spanish was id. But go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And there's an order. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them all things. And sometimes we do the opposite, as I've shared before. We teach people all things, then we baptize them, and then we wonder, why aren't they disciples? Why don't they want to follow God? And we do the opposite. The Bible says, go make disciples first, baptize second, and then teach them all things. Here's two brothers, a tale of two brothers. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go. Work today in my vineyard. And he answered, and he said, I will what? I will not. But afterward, he regretted it. And then he went. Does anybody know like that? We just say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then we're like, actually, I kind of should do that. He came to the second one, and he said likewise. And he said, I go, sir. I'm going to do it. I'm going to witness to people. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to give what I promised. But he did not what? He did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said to him, the first one, right? Even though he said, no, I'm not going to do it, he ended up going. By the way, if you ever get a chance to meet my brother works and he lives in Poland. But my brother was the one that worked with the teenagers when I was younger. My brother wanted to be a youth pastor. My brother wanted to go into ministry. Today he is not doing that. I wanted to play video games. I wanted to just stay home and build a collection of stuff. I didn't want to talk to people. I was introverted. I don't like saying hi and greeting people. My brother likes to talk to everybody. We switched. Two brothers. Let me show you a few other examples from the Bible. So this is John 2 verse 3. This is the water turning to wine. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And you know, he says like, woman, what does that have to do with me? Like, my time has not yet come. And he says, his mother says to the servants, Whatever he says to you, what? Do it. Some Catholics that I've spoken to, they ask, should we not follow the words of Mary? Mary was holy. Jesus must be holy, right? Well, if you go to the Bible, you can go with Catholics to the Bible. What did Mary say to do? Right here, Mary says, whatever Jesus said, what? Do it. Mary is pointing to Jesus also. Amen? James 1 verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Some people come, they listen, it goes in one ear and out the other. This is the New Living Translation. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. This is the New Living Translation, and in Spanish, it's Nueva Traducción Viviente, which I didn't even know that until I did this. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like looking at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away, and you forgot what you looked like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for what? For doing it. This is a very simple talk today. So, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Saul is there and he's sacrificing because the prophet Samuel took so long to get there. And he goes to him and he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. It's better to listen than to just keep saying, you're sorry, you're sorry, you're sorry. This is my commandment, Jesus told the disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you what? If you do whatever I command you. All right. So there's a song, and I didn't tell the chorister, so we're not, I don't know if it's the closing song, but it's a song called Trust and Obey. Have you heard the song before? The words go, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will what?
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. Not trust and procrastinate. Not trust and question. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I've got a challenge for you, and then I'm going to share some stories. Today's challenge is a simple one. To be like Joseph, the man God picked to help raise the Messiah. If God wakes you up out of sleep, listen to what he has to say. If God tells you to do something, go and do it. If God tells us to go reach out to your family, reach out to your friends, go and do it. If God says, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The ones that voted differently from you in the election. No, the ones, who is your neighbor? You have to be nice to the people around you, amen? You have to be nice to the Christians, but nice to the non-Christians. Be nice to the Christians that treat you badly, and nice to the Christians that don't, that treat you nice, right? That's what God said to do. And we're not always like that, but we should be. The purpose of evangelism isn't to baptize people. It's to make disciples. We have a group of people called the core. Without these people, the church would cease to function. These people do 80% of the work in the church. You see a lot of them in the pews, but you see a lot of them up in front all the time, or regularly, or in the back, running AV all the time. You have the committed. These people are here in the church week after week. They might be sitting in the pews, but they're dedicated, they're committed to being here. You've got the congregation, and these people are here pretty often, maybe not always, maybe someday they sleep in, they do stuff, but they're there in the congregation. You've got the crowd, and these show up maybe once every 2 or 3 months. They come in, they check things out, and then they go to other churches. They church hop. That's the crowd. And then you have the community. The goal of evangelism is to move people from the community to the crowd, from the crowd to the congregation, from the congregation to the committed, and the committed to the core. The goal is not to say, hey, you're baptized, that's it. The goal is, hey, you're part of the community. Check out our church. Check out what we're doing. Come to our Christmas program in 2 weeks, you know? Then they become part of the crowd. Come visit Follow the Star. From the crowd, if they like the church, they love the people. Oh, hey, I like your potluck. You guys are so friendly. They become part of the congregation. But the congregation, they sit there for a while. How do you make them part of the committed? You ask them, hey, you've been part of this church. But what if the nominating committee were to ask you to take a deeper role? Could you be a deacon next year? Could you help with Sabbath school? They become part of the committed when they say yes. The core is when they really care enough about the church that they're willing to do what God asks them to do. And even if they're like, oh, I'm going to be late for church. Can you cover Sabbath school for me because I'm not going to be there to pray in time? They're there. You say, hey, you know, the whole bell choir is waiting outside because it's cold. No one's there. Can you please open the door? Anybody can do it? I will do it, right? That's the committed. Amen? Amen. Sorry, I'm giving direct examples. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things. Amen? Amen. So making disciples moves people from the outside in. So I'm going to show you something. This is a group of young people. We were doing volleyball, and one of the girls, I want you to focus on this one. That's Bree. Some of you know her. She showed up to volleyball. And she really, really liked it, but she wasn't attending the church. She was just going to volleyball. Well, we had a picnic, and we invited Bree. Her mom showed up. That's Laura, right? And later on, we had more youth events, and Bree and her mom are there, but they also brought her sister and her cousin to join. This is Follow the Star. Laura's there with me on Follow the Star. And on the other side, we took the younger youth. I was doing Bible studies with them. And I said, let's go Bible shopping. I don't know who takes youth Bible shopping. And I'm like, let's go to the ABC, the Adventist Book Center together. And let's shop for Bibles together. Because we could just give you a Bible. But if you go and pick out a Bible that you understand, that this is your Bible, you bring this to Bible study. You bring this to church. Come and listen. So we went Bible shopping and I took them out to eat after. I'm going to come back to them in a second. We have young adults. This is at the Lentz Church, by the way. I've been there for about 3.5 years. So this is Charles and this is Curtis. When I came to Lentz, they were sitting in the back. They had been sitting in the back since they got baptized. They had been baptized for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Did they do anything at church? No. We asked them, I visited them, I went to their home, and I said, hey, what are you guys interested in? They're like, we love photography. We like doing this. We like working with kids. I'm like, did anybody ask you to help with Pathfinders? No. Do you want to help? And so they actually came and became Pathfinder leaders. Amen. One of them is becoming the leader of adventurers now. Just because somebody took time to talk with them and get to know them. Here's another example. This is the elders at Lentz in 2022. And this guy, his name is Fred Harvey. And Fred is sort of a shy guy, but eventually we elected him to do bigger things. He was an elder. He had never really been an elder before. I invited him to be more of a part of things. This is prayer meeting. Have you been to prayer meeting? Yes. He started helping out leading in prayer meeting. He started helping leading out in Bible studies. He's not getting baptized here. We studied with Kenny and Shirley. He was supposed to be with two, but the other person didn't show up. So he studied with them for 6, 7 months. And when I did the baptism, I said, Fred, you were part of the series. Come join me in the water with them. So he did. And together we baptized the people that he started studying with. He said, I've never given Bible studies before, but I like doing it. I want to keep doing it. Today, he's the first elder at the Lentz Church. Amen? Amen. Oh, by the way, I also baptized Bree. I baptized her in November, a month ago. It says, go make disciples, teach them all things, baptize them. We did not baptize her first and do the rest of that stuff. Amen? This is last night. I don't know if, remember I was pitching Follow the Star, we went there. Bree's still helping out. Even though I'm not there, she's still willing to help out and do stuff. She's still interested in the Bible and in God. Amen? Amen. Ministry of Healing, page 143. The world needs today what it needed 1900 or 2000 years ago. The world needs a revelation of Christ. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. And true success is not, oh, we baptize this many people. They're here and then they left. True success is getting people to become disciples, teaching them things and help, and then, you know, having them get baptized after that. The Savior mingled with men and women as one who desired their good. He spent time with them. He got to know them. That's my goal for us at this church. And I don't care if we're large. I don't care if we're small. I want to mingle. I want to meet with you. I want to spend time and visit with you. And I don't want to be the only one doing this. I want the elders and the leaders to do the same. Amen?
Amen.
He showed sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence. And then he said, follow me. I want to tell you a quick testimony. We did the series, The Creator and the Counterfeit, at Lent. And 85 to 90% of the visitors that came are joining a small group today. And a lot of them are coming to follow the star. And there was this Vietnamese guy that joined. His name is Hung. And I want you to, I'm saying his name, but I want you to pray for him. He is going to a church called the Potter's House. He just felt that he needs to get connected with Christ. So he attends a Sunday church, but he started coming to the series and he started talking to me. And yesterday he called me and he said, Pastor David, I want to do Bible studies. When are you giving studies? I want to do Bible studies. Well, we did a circle table and there's two young college age girls at the table too. And I said, you guys want to start a small group? You girls will lead it. I'll help train you. And they said, okay, we're willing. But you need to be there because we don't know how to teach. But they said they're willing to help teach. And so that group is growing. But Hum tells me, he starts opening his heart out to me and saying things like, you know, I'm worried about my faith. What if I do this? What if I do that? And he's telling me these things. And I told him, I said, you have a pastor, right? And he's like, well, yeah, I do. I have a pastor at my church. I have a small group that I like there. And I said, well, you could tell that to your pastor. And he says, yeah, but I'm not close to my pastor. I said, what about your youth group? He's like, well, I could talk to them, but maybe they're going to judge me. And I said, so why are you telling me? And he's like, well, I trust you. I feel I can open myself up to you more than I can to the people at my church. And I was like, thank you for trusting me. I'm like, praise God. I'm like, that's all. Thank you for trusting me. And he said, I want to start Bible studies. So on Sunday, December 22, we're launching another small group for Bible studies with Hung and with a few others that want to join. And I told them, I said, hey, I'm the pastor of two churches now. I can't teach all the Bible studies. I need more people to step up. And people started stepping up. Okay, I have one more thing. So we went to a birthday party yesterday. So I'm going to step back. 3 years ago, I did an evangelistic series when I came to Lent. And this woman, she said, I haven't been to church in 15 years, but I feel like I should come back now. And she showed up to the series. She went through all of it. She got baptized. She brought her brother in. And we're doing the birthday for her brother. Her brother is 69 years old. Okay? And at the birthday party, they brought two of their other brothers to join. And they were eating there with us and a few other church members that had come. And they're sharing stuff. And one of the brothers says, he said his wife passed away a few months ago. And he's like, you know, we didn't go to church. There wasn't really anybody at the funeral. It was just me, my wife, and my family. But I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's in heaven. I don't know if she's in hell. I don't know if she's in purgatory. I don't know where she is. I have questions about the Bible. Can I ask you guys questions? And I was like, that's awesome, right? I mean, like, more of the family is wanting to join. All you need is to know that people care. You just care for them, reach out to them. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, go, right? He said, go make disciples. Love other people. Reach out to them. Connect with them. And then invite them to come and follow me. Amen? There is need to come close to people by personal effort. It cannot just be they hear a sermon here and then they leave and nobody talks to them. You need to go close to people by personal effort. So, you know, we have potluck downstairs, right? Sit with someone you don't know. Introduce yourself. Talk to people. Get to know them. I met somebody at Follow the Star yesterday and she said she's been part of a church for 40 years. And when she transferred her membership out, not a single person called her to check. And she met a couple that I had married a few years ago, Jean and Arlene. And she's like, I love this couple. Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? And they were like, hey, Pastor David. And I'm like, okay, I'm not talking about myself. Connect with people. She connected with that couple. She did not connect with me. She connected with them, and they want to connect her to another to a church again. Amen? There is need to come close to the people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing and more time were spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. The poor to be relieved, the sick cared for, the grieving comforted, the ignorant instructed, and the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God. This work will not, cannot be without fruit. Amen? I've got a challenge for you today. It's very simple. Be like Joseph, the man God picked to help raise the Messiah. If God says go, go. If God says talk to someone, go talk to them. If God says check up on this person, you know what? You haven't seen this person in a few weeks. Call them. Invite them to lunch. Just hang out with them. Just say, hey, how are you doing? It's nice. They, you know, somebody said, this is not the Bible. It says new friends are silver, but old friends are gold. I'm going to say that again. New friends, making new friends is like silver. But connecting with old friends that you haven't seen in years is gold. This is a holiday season. We have an opportunity to reach out to people we haven't spoken to in years. Why not do that? And even just call and say, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, how are you doing? I was thinking about you this holiday season, and you know what? I haven't seen you in a while, but I'd love to pray with you. Maybe we can even hang out. In the busyness, maybe you got time to spend with me. Let's do that, amen? So I've got a challenge for you. I'm here every 2 weeks. I'm not preaching in 2 weeks from now. We have a Christmas program that's here. So I'm going to give you a challenge for the year to come. And the challenge is to have a deeper commitment with the God you already know. If you've been part of the community and you're coming here for the first time, just consider, where do you want to grow spiritually? Or do you want to go closer to God? Give that a try. Maybe you've been in the crowd and you've been here little by little, but you want to be regular. Make that commitment. Maybe you want to step into a role of the church. Maybe you even want to be more committed. Pray about this and make a deeper commitment to the God you already know. Amen? So, are you willing to take this challenge? Is there anybody willing to take this challenge with me? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's say a word of prayer today. Dear Lord and our loving Father, I shared quite a few stories and I shared a few concepts from the Bible, but I want to ask that the message was clear and that it sticks in our hearts. Help us to stop being procrastinators and to stop being questioners. Help us to do what you say. But if we need to procrastinate, if we need to question, you know, please bear with us. And in your mercy and in your grace, show your love to us. Because as you show us your grace and mercy, we can show that grace and mercy to more people. Please watch over us today. Watch over our church. And as our church and everyone here continues to grow, help us to bear fruit for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.